a local school district debates whether to rename facilities named after Cesar Chavez, and Amazon opens its doors for a new delivery center. This is KAWC's Arizona edition. The Gadsden Elementary School District in San Luis sought community input on whether to remove the farm worker rights leader's name following allegations that he abused and raped women.
No podemos hacer eso a nuestras nietas, a nuestros hijos, porque les estamos cerrando la voz a generaciones.
And Amazon welcomed Yuma City leaders and reporters recently at a new delivery center here.
Our goal is to reduce delivery times to our customers and bring the convenience of Prime benefits closer to rural customers.
Those stories, plus the latest from the KAWC Student Newsroom's The Hotspot Show, coming up next.
Funding for Arizona Edition comes from listeners just like you. Your continued support allows us to bring you insightful conversations about issues and events impacting our community. Thanks to you, we are able to highlight the people and voices of Yuma and La Paz counties and encourage civil conversations around water, agriculture, healthcare, education, and much more. Please continue to tune in to Arizona Edition, and thank you for helping us keep our community informed.
You're listening to KAWC's Arizona Edition. I'm Victor Calderon. Cities and school districts in Yuma County and across Arizona are debating whether to remove the name of the late farm worker rights leader Cesar Chavez from buildings and school facilities. This comes following allegations that Chavez abused and raped girls and fellow activist Dolores Huerta. Arizona lawmakers voted this week to end the statewide Chavez holiday on his birthday, March 31st, but they did so without the proposal from state Democrats to honor farm workers. That is what the city of San Luis is discussing. They're observing the holiday Tuesday as city leaders look to recognize the workers. The Gadsden School District is considering renaming Cesar Chavez Elementary and the Cesar Chavez Activity Center in San Luis Middle School. But community members are reluctant to let Chavez's legacy go. KAWC Education Solutions reporter Cisco Stargazer heard from locals.
For Arizona Edition, I'm Cisco Stargazer, and this segment will be presented in both English and Spanish. Para Edición Arizona, soy Cisco Stargazer, y este segmento se presentará en inglés y en español. Yuma County has long prided itself as the place farm worker rights leader Cesar Chavez was born and passed away. But now, after New York Times investigations brought sexual abuse allegations to light, the Gadsden School District in San Luis might change the name of two facilities: Cesar Chavez Elementary, and the Cesar Chavez Activity Center at San Luis Middle School. El condado de Yuma se ha enorgullecido durante mucho tiempo de ser el lugar donde nació y falleció Cesar Chavez. Sin embargo, ahora, después de que una investigación del New York Times haya sacado a la luz acusaciones de abuso sexual, el Distrito Escolar de Gadsden en San Luis podría cambiar el nombre de dos de sus instalaciones: la Escuela Primaria César Chávez y el Centro de Actividades César Chávez en la Escuela Secundaria San Luis. On Thursday, March 26, the district held a special governing board meeting to hear comments from the public. Five women, young and old, took to the podium. Among them were two who said they lived through the farm worker rights movement. El jueves 26 de marzo, el distrito llevó a cabo una reunión especial de la mesa directiva para escuchar comentarios del público. Cinco mujeres pasaron al podio. Entre ellas, dos dijeron que vivieron el movimiento por los derechos de los campesinos. María Angélica Murillo, who worked in the field, stands by Chavez because she remembers what life used to be like. María Angélica Murillo, quien trabajó en el campo, respalda a Chavez porque recuerda cómo era la vida antes.
Yo empecé a trabajar cuando andábamos en los bases, que nada más era una tabla donde pues nos sentábamos. Cualquier accidentito que hubiera pasado hubiera sido un fracaso.
Murillo said she started working back when they traveled in buses, sitting on nothing but a board, and any little accident would have been a disaster.
¿Sabe dónde se hacían del baño? En los canales, en las orillas de los files. Para comer, para un lunch, le agarraba uno el taco y súbete al bus y vete a a comer tu taco como puedas.
She explained the workers would relieve themselves out by the canals, at the edge of the fields. For lunch, they'd grab their taco and eat it however they could in the bus.
Yo empecé cuando ganábamos 99 centavos. Y así fue, con la lucha de él, se fue incrementando. Nos levantaron el asadón, el cortito. Andábamos jorobadas, agachadas. Y sin embargo, él luchó, ¿para qué? Para que ese asadón fuera largo, como una escoba. Todo cambió, todo fue muy diferente. Gracias a Dios a él.
Murillo said she began when salaries were just 99 cents. And because of the fight for better conditions, wages began to grow. And not just wages. The hose they used in the fields, too. Before, they were very short, so the workers had to be hunched over. After Chavez, they began working with long-handled hose, as long as a broom. She thanks God and Chavez. That's why she wants proof before she'll accept the allegations, because she says she lived it, and she doesn't think younger generations can really understand. Murillo agradece a Dios y a Chávez los avances en condiciones de los trabajadores, y por eso ella quiere pruebas antes de aceptar las alegaciones.
Nadie me puede asegurar, una persona más joven que yo no puede decir eso porque no lo vivió, y yo sí lo viví.
Ana María Guillén, another speaker, shared that she stood with Chávez until the very end, attending his funeral. Citing Chavez's hunger strike and march to Sacramento, she said that actions speak louder than words, and that one could even say he gave his life for them. Ana María Guillén, otra de las participantes, compartió que se mantuvo al lado de Chavez hasta el final. Al recordar su huelga de hambre y la marcha a Sacramento, dijo que las acciones hablan más que las palabras.
Yo incluso asistí hasta su funeral, lo acompañé hasta el final, y yo nunca vi una cosa así irrespetuosa de su parte. Para mí era un gran hombre, y los hechos hablan más que las palabras. Todos los bienes que nos dejó, ¿verdad? Que incluso, como quien dice, ofrendó su vida por nosotros.
Throughout her speech, Guillén expressed that she couldn't understand why people would come forward now, when Chavez can't defend himself. But she conceded that everyone's human, and she doesn't wish to offend. Quoting Jesus when he said, "Let he who is without sin throw the first stone," she suggested no one can judge, only God. A lo largo de su discurso, Guillén expresó que no podía entender por qué la gente decidiría hablar ahora, cuando Chavez ya no puede defenderse. Sin embargo, reconoció que todos son humanos, y ella no desea ofender a nadie, citando a Jesús cuando dijo, "El que esté libre de pecado, que tire la primera piedra", sugirió que nadie puede juzgar, solo Dios.
Lo que sí digo yo es que, pues si Dios, que era perfecto, no juzgó a la pecadora, ¿cómo nosotros podemos considerarnos mejor que Dios para juzgar a un semejante?
Upon concluding her speech, Guillén said she hopes to see everyone in the Holy Father's house, alongside César.
Que Dios los bendiga a todos y algún día, un día nos veamos todos en la casa del Padre junto con César.
Guillén and Murillo's sense of injustice about the allegations were shared by Lilia Quiñones, who doesn't believe anyone would wait this long. El sentimiento de injusticia ante las acusaciones que expresaron Guillén y Murillo también fue compartido por Lilia Quiñones, quien no cree que alguien esperaría tanto tiempo.
¿Por qué después de tantos años vienen a decir barbaridades? Porque son muchos años después de que él se fue. ¿Por qué? ¿Quién sabe? Eso es lo que se debería de investigar, el por qué, y tener las pruebas. Porque pruebas no creo que las tengan. Son muchos años.
Quiñones cautioned that it's easy to ruin a life with words. But at the heart of her grief is the loss of a Latino hero who shared her heritage and her very own community.
Muchas personas pueden poner en mal a otras. En un momento así, les baratan la vida. Palabras, palabras hay muchas. Yo he escuchado, he visto videos que me parten el alma porque soy latina. Tenemos para mí, todavía tengo un líder latino que no lo quieren quitar, no es justo.
But this kind of thinking is troubling, says Luisa Arriola, a local retired union leader. Pero esta manera de pensar es preocupante, dice Luisa Arriola, una ex líder sindical local. Ella pregunta, ¿qué mensaje están mandando a sus hijas y a las personas que han sufrido abuso cuando cuestionan cuánto tiempo ha pasado?
What are we telling our girls? People who have been abused. Remember, you have a time frame or else they're going to question you. Why? Why did you take so long? That's absurd to hear that.
Despite the positive things the other woman shared at the public hearing, Arreola said she's heard other stories too. A pesar de los comentarios positivos de otras mujeres en la audiencia pública, Arreola dijo que también ha escuchado otras historias. Como maestra, tenía estudiantes que compartían que sus abuelos no querían a Chávez por cosas que hacía. Arreola dice que esas experiencias también importan. Y la gente no debe cerrarse solo al ¿por qué ahora?
I believe it's generational. Generational, a mí as a former teacher, when we used to, during the march, what we had to expose the kids to Cesar Chavez. And I did have a lot of my students say, you know what, my grandpa doesn't like him because he did this. We were struggling, my parents were struggling at home and they weren't allowed to go in the mistreatment of him. So I would hear this from younger generations. So it's not just what they're saying, it's what other people lived through it. And that's what we gotta look at and not be close to, oh, why now? So what? Why now? It's never too late.
Arreola argued the school facility's names need to be changed. Rather than fixate on Chavez, she wants people to uplift the United Farm Workers' legacy. Arreola sostuvo que es necesario cambiar los nombres de las instalaciones escolares. Más que enfocarse en Chávez, dijo que se debe enaltecer el legado del sindicato de los campesinos.
But it wasn't just one leader. That's why it's called the union. It was everybody, not just him. It was the movement of the farm workers. And like I said, if we look at Dolores Huerta's legacy and we look back, yeah, she was right there next to him, who also took that movement to the next level. She took it to Washington so those laws can be changed. But we're not taught that in school. We're not taught that in the community because we're not ready for a woman to take that role. Take that recognition. And that's what's sad.
Arreola comentó que al hablar de Chávez, también se debe considerar el legado de Dolores Huerta, quien llevó la lucha hasta Washington. Dijo que eso no se ha enseñado en las escuelas porque la gente no está lista para reconocer a una mujer. Añadió que si alguien puede finalmente hablar a los 96 años, nunca es tarde, y que no se debe cuestionar por qué habla ahora, sino aceptar eso.
If she's 96 years old and finally coming out, it's not too late. And we should embrace that, not frown upon it, not condemn her, not saying that somebody's sending her. No, it's her heart sending her. It's those other victims that she's standing up with. So that's why I believe that we should take the name off Cesar Chavez.
But will they? The Gadsden School District Governing Board said it may take action at a later date. ¿Pero cambiarán los nombres de las instalaciones escolares? La mesa directiva del Distrito Escolar de Gadsden dijo que podría tomar acción más adelante. After the meeting, Ana María Guillén said she'd feel sad and helpless if the district renamed Cesar Chavez Elementary and the Cesar Chavez Activity Center. Después de la junta, Ana María Guillén dijo que le daría tristeza si el distrito cambia los nombres de la escuela primaria Cesar Chavez y el centro de actividades Cesar Chavez.
Yo me sentiría bien triste y bien, ¿cómo te quiero decir? Impotente. Muy impotente porque si por mí fuera, como había un señor que decía honor a quien honor merece. Y si alguien mereció honor por todo lo que luchó por nosotros, era César Chávez.
In San Luis, Chávez's legacy has long been deeply personal. And now, it's deeply contested. In San Luis, el legado de Chávez ha sido profundamente personal. Y ahora, profundamente cuestionado. For Arizona Edition, I'm Cisco Stargazer, and this reporting supported by a grant from the Arizona Local News Foundation. Para Edición Arizona, soy Cisco Stargazer, y este reportaje cuenta con el apoyo de una subvención de la Fundación de Noticias Locales de Arizona. We'll be taking a quick break now, but stay tuned. Next, we'll be hearing about a new Amazon facility in Yuma, and why college students are feeling that the quote-unquote vibe is off.
Funding for Arizona Edition comes from listeners just like you. Your continued support allows us to bring you insightful conversations about issues and events impacting our community. Thanks to you, we are able to highlight the people and voices of Yuma and La Paz counties and encourage civil conversations around water, agriculture, healthcare, education, and much more. Please continue to tune in to Arizona Edition, and thank you for helping us keep our community informed.
This is KAWC's Arizona Edition. I'm Victor Calderon. Amazon opened a new delivery station in Yuma in October. Last week, Amazon officials gave behind-the-scenes tours and held a ribbon-cutting ceremony with Yuma City leaders and reporters. If you've ordered from Amazon in the past 5 months, your order has come through this Yuma station. Amazon officials say there are more than 250 employees at the Yuma station. It handles as many as 21,000 units per day, including some for same-day delivery. Amazon Yuma Station Manager Brian Willis said the new delivery station is all about convenience and efficiency for customers.
This delivery station is more than just a hub for packages. It's a way for us to better serve Yuma and the surrounding communities. Our goal is to reduce delivery times to our customers and bring the convenience of Prime Benefits closer to rural customers. It is so exciting to be leading the nation's best facility to have a hybrid fulfillment center product and delivery station all in one, all under one roof. You shouldn't have to sacrifice convenience and selection just because you want to live in the best city on earth.
Yuma Mayor Doug Nichols said Amazon is a good fit for Yuma because companies here know how to handle logistics.
We've been known as a logistics hub forever, primarily because of lettuce. In the winter, we have 2,500 trucks moving out of Yuma every day to feed the country. So we knew we could do logistics, but then to have a name like Amazon connected with our community, that was just kind of the next level. That gave us the ability, as we talk to other companies or as other companies research Yuma, if they know Amazon's made an investment, that gives us that extra confidence in their eyes. For us, we knew we can handle this, right? But from the greater world, to be able to say, not only is Yuma great at feeding the country, but Amazon is invested, and that spurs on a lot of other conversations.
College students are finding the quote-unquote vibe is off this semester. As negative news proliferates the internet, the KAWC Student Newsroom explores why it's all hitting harder right now.
In this week's spot, student reporter Maya Mannery spoke with multiple students about why this semester might feel a little bit different than the last.
It's hard enough being a college student. Your studies, exams, possible job, and everything else that being a student brings is a lot to put in a person, but we all put up with it for the sake of our future. But this year, this semester, something feels different. And if you're like AWC student Sunny Ray, you might have noticed it.
At the beginning of the semester, it was packed. But like half the people are not there for some odd reason or another. Yeah, there was like the three or four people that wouldn't be there. Like, you know, most classes are gonna be a few oddballs that don't show up, but like this is like half the class, so I feel like that's weird.
A lot of things are happening in the world right now, a statement AWC student Satara corroborate with. Things that could affect you mentally?
Oh, absolutely. It can affect people's sense of security and, I guess, everyday life, considering that the changes are real and happening with individuals like myself.
Or financially.
I mean, I know not everyone has the fortune of having a lot of money, especially nowadays.
But even with everything going on globally, the most important thing is, at the end of the day, yourself.
Worry about yourself more. Like, stay resilient for yourself. Make sure you're healthy. Make sure you're doing good. And be a little bit more self-centered in a healthy way, so that, like, regulation. Because I can't control everything politically, but I can control myself and how I feel about it and how I can make my own day a bit better.
From the KAWC Student Newsroom, I'm Maya Manry. How much information is too much before someone becomes exhausted? Student reporter Chloe Michaels spoke with Professor of History and Sociology Monica Ketchum-Cardenas about why younger adult generations could feel overwhelmed by what they are seeing in the news, especially in the digital age.
The digital age, also known as the information age, is like no other era. Everyone you know has a phone. Your friends, your professors, coworkers, hey, even grandma has one. Something that you can fit in your hand that has the ability to tell you anything, take you anywhere, whenever you want. What an interesting concept. It sounds too good to be true, right? But at what cost? According to the American Psychological Association, younger adult generations such as Gen Z and millennials are more likely to experience burnout compared to older generations. As a professor of history and sociology, Monica Ketchum-Cardenas is used to seeing more than one side to a story. In a time where our social media algorithms have become more hyper-individualized, it may be difficult to take a step back and see the bigger picture.
One of the challenges that we have now, and this is something that sociologists also look at, is technology, the growing reliance on technology in order to socialize, in order to get our news. And we're looking more at social media for our news. And with that comes algorithms. And so I find that a lot of times what happens is, not just among students, but among our population in general, is that we end up with our algorithms just kind of reinforcing our views and our viewpoints. So we don't necessarily have that balanced information about what's going on in the world.
When it comes to receiving information, Dr. Ketchum explains why it can be harmful to hear only one perspective. Even she admits that it can be challenging to find news that doesn't feel biased.
It can be very negative. In other cases, it can be overly positive, right? So you end up with toxic positivity because you're just totally, you know, out there. Myself, for my job as a history professor and a, you know, sociology professor, right? I have to read the news. I get newsletters every day, and I do really try and make sure that I'm seeing both sides and really trying to look at things from both perspectives to understand what's going on and kind of weed through. Unfortunately, you know, it's hard. It's very hard to filter.
She notices that in our society, there has been quite a divide in how the news that is presented today can play a role in the polarization.
I feel like we're seeing a lot with the polarization in our society and with just the way that, for example, the way that news is presented. It's a lot of people yelling and making, you know, creating sound bites rather than reporting.
Ketchum shares about how we can fact check and observe the information we receive.
Seek out some different news outlets, perhaps, that are less biased. If you look at, there's a couple of websites where you can do like bias fact check, and you can look at where different newspapers or news outlet magazines fall on the spectrum and kind of try and choose. I mean, you can choose to look at whatever you want, but like look at things that are closer to the middle so that you consuming a little bit more of a balanced view.
As we continue to live in the digital age, where we have all the information in the world, we are now encouraged more than ever to step back, take a deep breath, and look at it from a different perspective. With the more you know, we can bridge the gap between the divide. From the KAWC Student Newsroom, I'm Chloe Michael.
You just heard a piece from our student podcast, The Hotspot. Hear the full episode on our website, kawc.org, under podcasts. KAWC's Arizona Edition is a production of KAWC, Colorado River Public Media. Questions or comments are welcome. Send them to azed@kawc.org. Our theme music was used with permission and composed by Stephen Hennig and performed by members of the Yuma Jazz Company. More information at yumajazz.com. Past shows and podcast information is available online. Just visit kawc.org for more information or search Arizona Edition wherever you get your podcasts. You can also take KAWC with you wherever you go. Just download the KAWC COFA app and the listening is in your hands. I'm Victor Calderon. This is KAWC's Arizona Edition. Thanks for listening.